Welcome to the New World Order. This New World Order will be a new society and features lots of changes. This new society is great for some and not great for others. In the New World Order, you will learn to love to live more modestly. You do not need to own things when you can simply lease them from your loving government-approved companies. We will transform our current pollution-ridden cities to something much more beautiful, and you will love it. Life in the New World Order will be different. In this new perfect world, cash will be illegal. Everyone will be a certain amount of global credits, which will be the only way you can buy and sell in the new society. These digital financial credits will also be tied to your social credit scores. Your credit scores will become your digital footprint and will be used to control your travel, what you can buy, where you can live, your energy usage, medical access. Everything you do will be in a government database. This is great. You will be issued more credits if you are good and promote our new system. Citizens will be given less global credits if they ever criticize the New World Order. If you are non-binary, a demented pedophile, can barely think, worship the devil, and help promote the New World Order, you will be greatly rewarded with extra credit each month. Since robots and AI will replace most jobs, you will have more time to play your favorite video games and watch more Netflix. This is so great. In the new society, parents will not be allowed to make decisions for their children. The government will raise your kids. Each child will be assigned a state-sponsored caseworker. These caseworkers will teach your kids that everything is racist, how to be queer or gender fluid, and teach them about all the different sex positions. If you object to your caseworkers teaching techniques, or if you object to the caseworker sleeping with your child, everyone in your family will be docked global credits, and your family could be relocated to a FEMA camp. Resistance is foolish. Meet Stacy. Stacy is one of our best caseworkers.
Hello.
Stacy could be in charge of one of your kids. How great would that be? In this new world order, it's important to follow the rules. Certain websites will be illegal.
Daddy, what is Infowars.com?
Low crap.
If you see something, say something. You as a citizen should report your neighbors if they aren't following the new rules. You have the power to make the world better. Caring, reporting, assisting. Progressive, C-R-A-P, which stands for crap. You too can be a piece of crap and will be greatly rewarded. As we see here, this man misgendered a man lady. The police are dealing with him in the most fitting way. This offender seen here did not recycle his paper straws. If you don't like this, you will be sentenced to death by lethal injection.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Things will get so bad in our society. Your family will be begging for the New World Order. You will need the government in order to survive. In this new utopia, if you do not comply with our new laws and regulations, our totally not corrupt federal and local judges will make sure that you are given the proper penalties. Jail, financial ruin, death penalty, anything is possible. As we all adjust to the new normal, it's important to remember that you do not matter. Do not complain about the hyperinflation. Do not complain about the higher taxes. And do not complain about Bill Gates' death panels. This is for the greater good. This is what I call happy making time. Let us all celebrate this new world order. The new world order. Please stay a while. We won't keep you for long. We'll keep you forever. Forever.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life.
T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade, ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you got to do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlchemistStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlchemistStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
I want unity under a code of freedom and liberty and justice and coming together and working together and being strong. And that's what InfoWars is. And that's why the enemies of humanity hate us so much, because we love God and God loves humanity. And I am a human supremacist. 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 That term will be the future war with the robots and the AI. What you're hearing now is the entire future and everything they tried to stop us from doing. Our supremacy will not end with this planet. We will people the stars. We will colonize. We will green dead worlds. We will go interdimensional. We will unlock the secrets of the universe. God has laid them out like Christmas presents for his children. And I am extremely honored to be in the fulcrum and the heart of the fight to bring our race, the human race, in a race for the future. And we will break the enemy. We will break the pedophiles. We will break the Satanists, because God already sent his own self down here to show us he could do it. God would never ask us to go through an obstacle course he wouldn't go through. And now we're going to go through what Christ did. And we're going to go through it, and we're going to be destroyed, but reborn on the other side.
Powerful, powerful stuff from Alex Jones. You can find that on John Bown's Twitter. Let me make sure I have, because he's not at John Bown. I retweeted it at Newsbound. That's what it is, at Newsbound, News B-O-W-N-E. Of course, he does great work for InfoWars. He says, being old sucks. My rotator cuff is making it increasingly difficult to edit, but I'm about to rip the sling off and churn out a barrage of InfoWars reports nonstop with a vengeance. I will be flooding the system. It's so awesome. It's literally like Harrison Bergeron just like ripping off the sling and being like, we must wage war. Incredible. Do you think we're full of it? Like, do you think we're not the real deal? Like, this is just who we are. It's like crazy we all ended up here, but for good reason. It's just, again, I could just spend all show just disproving with a vengeance the lies about us. It's all disproven for anybody that wants to pay attention, look around. I got so many videos to go to. I do want to take your calls this hour, final hour. I understand Trump is going to be live reading his Bible verse about rebuilding the third temple. Very on the nose. And in line with everything else going on, you know, I went over this on the Sunday show, on the Alex Jones show, but sort of connecting the dots between the mysterious scientists who have gone missing, 11 of them since last July, and the UFO disclosure phenomenon taking place as more UFO photos are being seen and congressmen are coming out talking about how disclosure is imminent and Trump saying it'll happen soon, and the war in Iran obviously playing into all of this, the energy shutdowns. There's something weird going on here, and I can't help but think that it's all deeply connected. And then at the same time that you have all of these things happening, and you've got Pope going and doing some ceremony with Muslims saying, you know, we're not so far apart after all. And you've got Netanyahu and the Israelis claiming that Judeo-Christian is like a religion or something, as if these aren't two totally separate and distinct religions being shoved under one label. It's like all this stuff is happening at a really rapid clip. And if you're already sort of well-versed in what the sort of assumed plan of the globalist was, then you should really already know all of this. Like, in case you don't, in case you're not aware, the whole plot really is, well, at the end of the day, what they want, their ultimate goal, is to live forever. Start with that. Start with the fact that humans, for all of time, since literally the Garden of Eden, have had this desire to live forever in the fear of death. And they'll do a lot of evil things in an attempt to circumvent death. And this is the most long-lasting and sort of intrinsic fear in human beings. You can look back to classical stories, legends, myths, and what do you see? You see vampires, right? You see people that live forever and are evil, and they drink blood to do it, because there's this understanding that we can't live forever. It's selfish to want to live forever. You have to consume other human beings to live forever. There's something like intrinsic about this. Or you can look at modern manifestations of the fairy tale or the myth. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and now before. Voldemort means run from death. The whole point of Voldemort's character was wanting to live forever. Kind of interesting now if you go back and you read Harry Potter. This is a total side tangent, but when you go back and you read Harry Potter as an adult, it's hilarious because Voldemort will be like the most despicable evil person. He's like killing people and like doing all this horrible stuff. And then it's like, because he was racist. And it's like, okay, is that really the bad? Is that really the worst thing? It's like this very weird thing where it's like he murders people and tortures people and kills babies because he's racist. And it's like all that other stuff is not that bad, but doing it for racism, that's what really makes him evil. You definitely get a sense of that. And I didn't notice that when I was growing up, but I did notice that the second time I was reading through, and it kind of made the whole thing funny to me, because in reality, the evilness is not like, and even that doesn't make sense. Like, you get, all right, I don't want to talk about Harry Potter, but it's like, I'm sorry, is the ability to do magic not incumbent on blood? I mean, is this not a real thing in the wizarding world? It's kind of a crazy thing to be all up in arms about. It seems kind of reasonable to me to have the wizarding world be exclusive to wizards. But the point is that, like, no, the real evil thing about Voldemort was the classic evil thing that we see everywhere all the time. It's the selfish desire to live forever and the ego to think that everybody else has to die and it's worth it because you get to live. Like, that's the evil part. That's the evil thing. That's what compelled him to do the evil deeds. And racism's bad too. Okay, never forget. Hilarious. All right, I'm getting off track. If you want to understand the globalists, you have to understand that their ultimate goal is to live forever and that they think they're on the cusp of living forever. They think, and they're probably right, that they now have biological processes as well as digital processes that will effectively grant people a form of immortality. But our modern world can't exist with immortality because we do have limited resources. There are a lot of them, but they are limited, and we can't have people born and never die. That doesn't make any sense. So only a small number of people will have access to the infinite life technology. So how do you define who those people are? You have to create a bifurcated system. You have to create, on purpose, a neo-feudal system in which an elevated class is so far above the rest of humanity, the laws don't apply to them. Hell, the laws of physics don't even apply to them. They don't die. They'll live forever. They can do whatever they want. They'll rule the world. And they'll dangle immortality like a carrot to get everybody else to behave. That's their ultimate goal. That's actually what they believe that they are headed towards. Now, this is, in a very interesting way, sort of a completion, starting at the book of Genesis with the snake in the Garden of Eden, the serpent promising Eve that she would live forever and be like gods if only she would use her intelligence to follow the devil. And it connects to Revelation, where it shows the actual process of how this technology would be rolled out in order to create a world in which some people could live forever. And of course, once they create that, we believe that Jesus will basically come back and set the whole thing right again. But that is what they're pursuing. And they're pursuing it through multiple vectors, I guess you could say. And one of these is Masonry. And Masonry, their spiritual beliefs are all centered on two things: ancient Egypt and Solomon's Temple. Solomon's Temple, the rebuilt second temple, they want to rebuild. They want to rebuild the third temple, which of course would be not what a Christian would want to do, because the understanding is that sort of Christ is the third temple in any meaningful way. But the Masons are very obsessed with rebuilding the third temple. And they talk about it all the time, and all of their iconography is about that. You've got the two pillar thing. It's all centered on that ultimate goal, even if it was sort of seen as like a far-fetched. And the way Masons understand it is it's like, it's an allegory. You're building yourself as a man, but we understand it through the building of the temple. But it's like, no, you're actually being groomed into wanting to actually build the literal third temple, because the idea is that to create a world in which people can live forever, you need everybody subjugated in this bifurcated society. So you need the entire world under the control of one singular power structure. So they want that power structure to exist in Israel. Israel will be the capital of the New World Order. It will be the only sovereign nation. All other nations will have the lines between them dissolved, sort of through communism. So you sort of take the communism, the aspects of communism where you destroy national identity and you destroy national lines and you destroy free association and free trade for every nation except for Israel, which will be, you know, guaranteed existence forever. It will be superlative and the most important thing in the world. So combine sort of communism and the destruction of the nation state with the ultimate uplifting and importance of Zion as the capital of the world government. So you combine communism and Zionism and you get globalism. And this has been pursued very resolutely for the last couple hundred years. And whether intended or not, and I think it was intended, but even if you don't believe in conspiracy and want to think it's all coincidence, it has worked out that World War I brought us the League of Nations and destroyed every royal family in Europe except for the British royal family, which had been taken over by the Rothschilds about 50 years previous. The Second World War created the UN and established the Bretton Woods Initiative, through which financial methods could be used to enslave entire countries through debt. And now we're on the cusp of World War III, where they intend to act like they're fulfilling a bunch of prophecies in order to trick Christians, the Muslims, and the Jews into thinking that they're a part of this apocalyptic war for the end of the world that'll get so devastating that everybody will be begging for it to stop, and they will provide the peacemaker in the form of the Antichrist. That is the ultimate plan. The reason they're obsessed with ancient Egypt is not only because there are secrets that they harbor from, you know, pre-flood secret technology, advanced civilizations that existed long before the ancient Egyptians. That's part of it. But the other part of it is that ancient Egypt was a society and a structure that could have possibly been permanent, but it certainly existed for 4,000 years without interruption. The ancient Egyptian culture went for 4,000 years without a single major change. The art style didn't change, the music style didn't change, the governance style didn't change for 4,000 years. So if you're looking to create a stable, permanent government construct that you could be immortal in and rule over for 1,000 years, you're looking to ancient Egypt for what that looks like. And what that looks like is a god king, a class of priests, and then everybody else. And of course, the real secret of Egypt at the time was it had the Nile, which provided for transportation. It's like literal magic, right? Like the Nile, the river flows in one direction, but the wind always blows in the other direction. So like you never need power. Like you either put up your sail and go the one direction, or you just take the sail down, you go in the other direction. Like it's the most amazing thing ever. It floods at exactly the same time to exactly the same height. It's amazing. And so what it provides is consistent sustenance, as well as the fact that it's surrounded by deserts, meaning it not going to be hit by an outside force. So if you're a bad guy who wants to rule the world, you're going, this is the checklist we need. We can't be subject to nature and to the wiles of the weather. We have to have a food source that is consistent and dependable. So we need to have pigs raised in warehouses and pumped full of antibiotics. We can't be trusting on the, you know, old school way of just husbandry, normal animal husbandry. We have to mechanize all of it. We have to have no outsiders who are big enough and strong enough to destroy us. We have to have people who are happy to be entertained and distracted and stupid while we have a class of highly educated and propagandized priests who can administer all of it. So all of this, and you know, for our regular viewers, you should know all of this by now. If you don't, you've got some reading to do. For anybody that may be watching, you know, curious to look in and see if InfoWars bought The Onion, or if The Onion bought InfoWars. They didn't. Hi, I'm Harrison. I work for InfoWars, not The Onion. The Onion is stupid and not funny. So there's that. And I think you need to know this. I think you need to understand and just think about it yourself. Is this what's happening? Am I the crazy one? Now, I'm not the one who's talking about slaughtering red calves and rebuilding the third temple. That's Benjamin Netanyahu saying that. Okay? I'm not the one reading a Bible verse about Solomon rebuilding the second temple as president of the United States, who calls himself a master builder and is currently engaged in sacrificing America for the sake, and I guess you could say on the altar of Israel, so that they can be built up into a superpower themselves. They're the ones doing this. They're the ones who are either, you know, weaponizing and pretending to fulfill certain prophecies or creating the conditions that people can be led to believe that this is some sort of apocalyptic act of God, when in reality it's just a bunch of scheming humans. And the reason I'm saying all this is because there's a bunch of other stuff that's happening right now as well. They've claimed to have just discovered Noah's Ark. Now, I'm a little bit confused by this because I remember reading about this in middle school. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that remembers? It was in middle school or high school. They claimed to have found Noah's Ark, and it was this. It was in a mountain in Turkey, and they did radar scans of it, and they found a big boat. I mean, this has been around for a while, so why is it hitting newspapers again? Unless this is a different one, but like, I remember reading this. Does anybody else? So why are they treating it like it's new? High in the mountains of Turkey, a mysterious geological formation sits that some researchers believe could be the remains of Noah's Ark. According to the Bible, the massive vessel saved humanity of every kind of animal from annihilation during a catastrophic flood more than 4,300 years ago. Now, a team of American researchers working at the Durupanir Formation near Mount Ararat has uncovered evidence of hidden tunnels as described in the biblical account. So I guess they're saying they found hidden tunnels here. But this discovery of what they thought was Noah's Ark, this has been around for like at least 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. Unless I'm misremembering. But Mount Ararat, Turkey, this is all old. So why are they making a big deal out of it now? Apparently they found tunnels. But is it a coincidence that at the same time they're claiming to find this, they also now are claiming to have found the Ark of the Covenant from today on the Daily Mail? Ark of the Covenant's final resting place pinpointed by archaeologists as fresh search begins. And they say the location of a chest believed to contain the Ten Commandments has long been a mystery, but archaeologists may be close to finding the lost Ark of the Covenant. According to the Bible, the sacred relic was built by the Israelites shortly after fleeing Egypt. You mean the Jews or the Israelites? Are those the same thing? Sorry, I'm confused here. They're not the same thing. Jews didn't exist until 400 years after Christ. But continuing, the sacred relic was built by the Israelites shortly after fleeing Egypt around the 13th century BC, with Moses placing the Ten Commandments inside. Historians believe the Ark was kept inside the Holy of Holies, the innermost chamber of Jerusalem's ancient temple, before vanishing during the Babylonian sack of the city in 586 BC. Now, archaeologist Dr. Chris McKinney has proposed the Ark could be hidden within underground spaces in the City of David, just south of Jerusalem's Temple Mount. I always thought it was in Ethiopia, but, or Mar-a-Lago. I guess it could also be in Mar-a-Lago. Yeah, Mar-a-Lago has a big golden sample of, mock creation of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so is anybody else a little bit suspicious? A little bit weirded out by this? They're like, oh, we found Noah's Ark. Oh, and the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, and by the way, we're going to rebuild the Third Temple, and Donald Trump is the Messiah, and he got his left ear pierced, like in the prophecy, and now he's going to give a speech. We chose it randomly, but it happens to be about Solomon rebuilding the Third Temple. It's like all of this is contributing to the ultimate goal of using Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, certain sects of all three of these religions, to usher in the Antichrist and enslave the planet under a one-world government. I don't believe them, I guess, in a word you could say. I don't believe that they're finding all of this stuff. I don't believe that they're doing all of this stuff coincidentally. I think I believe it's all on purpose. And at the same time they're doing all of this, Israel is set to have a giant, the world's largest pride parade and celebration in what just so happens to be the exact place that Sodom and Gomorrah existed. That seems a little bit like a bad idea. I don't know. I'm no expert, but they're having the world's largest pride parade at the place most famous for God destroying it in a giant storm of fire because of how gay they were. And of course, the tradition, the Christian tradition, is that the rainbow was God's. I guess the rainbow is about Noah, but the idea was that, you know, he wiped out the whole planet because of their sin, and then he put the rainbow saying, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Of course, he says next time it'll be fire, and that'll be the end of the world. But basically, you know, he kind of felt bad. He's like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to flood the whole planet again. And so in a way, by like waving the rainbow flag at Sodom and Gomorrah during a pride festival, it's kind of taunting God. It feels a little bit like you're taunting God and saying, you promised you wouldn't do anything, even if we're as bad as we were back then, you still can't do anything because you promised as you wave this rainbow flag. I don't think it's a great idea, personally. But hey, you do you. I'll show you a video on the other side, and I'll open up for the phone lines for calls. But we know the location of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll get into this, too, because there's something you find when you read history, and if you actually are able to put things together, there's a lot of stuff that we know that we pretend we don't know. It's pretty interesting. This location of Sodom and Gomorrah is one of them. You look now and you find websites like nobody really knows, and it's speculated to be around here. But I'll show you. There's a Bible from the 1800s that's like, here's Sodom, here's Gomorrah. Here's where they are. Here's how we know. Why do we pretend that we don't know that now? Anyway, we'll get into it on the other side, and I'll open up the phone lines for your calls. I do want to remind you once again that this is your last chance to get InfoWars products. After April 30th, they will be unavailable, and they're probably selling out right now. So, and I mean forever. So if you want official merchandise from InfoWars that says InfoWars with the logo, even if you want to just buy some to put off to the side as collector's items to sell in 50 years, you don't have long to do it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Go there today. You're getting 20% off InfoWars products. On top of that, if you sign up for a supplement, which again, TheAlexJonesStore.com, The Alex Jones Network, these are separate from InfoWars. These will continue into the future, regardless of what happens with InfoWars. So if you want to order a product and put it on subscription, you know, it will continue to get delivered as long as The Alex Jones Store is around. And you get 50% off when you do that, as well as a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, and you get a free gift in every order.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document the potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at some breaking news here, and I can't find it confirmed, so I'm not gonna bring it to you. But I thought maybe we'd had another death in the UFO world, but I'm not gonna bring that up till I can get it confirmed. So, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to play a quick video here and then open the lines for your phone calls for this last segment of the broadcast. If you want to call, the number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-2539. Now, as I said before, there's a lot of very strange, like, biblical goings-on, I guess you could say. They apparently found Noah's Ark. They're announcing that. They're also apparently announcing that they found the Ark of the Covenant, potentially. Donald Trump is reading a verse of the Bible tonight about rebuilding the Third Temple, or Solomon building the Second Temple. And in addition to all of that, on top of all of this, apparently Israel is holding a giant pride celebration, a gay pride event, specifically at the Dead Sea, which is the side of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I think this is a good sort of example for people who think that the modern state of Israel, created in 1948 by the Rothschilds, is the same Israel referenced in the Bible. I would say the modern Israel, it shares a lot more characteristics with the old Sodom and Gomorrah from the Hebrew Bible. I think they behave a lot more like them. Not that the Israel nation in the Bible wasn't constantly acting out and getting punished by God. That's sort of a regular cycle. Now they want you to think that the Jews being chosen people mean that they can't do anything wrong. They'll always have God's favor. Just reading the Bible as a regular person with an IQ of 70, you can tell that's not the case. God's constantly getting pissed at the Jews and like killing all of them. It happens quite a lot. Or in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, like saving the one good guy and destroying all the rest. So that's like a very common thing, this idea that like Israel can do whatever it wants and not suffer the consequences. This is a very modern idea that is, again, I'd say it's abiblical. It's anti-biblical. There it is. Israel set to host Middle East's largest pride festival ever at the site of the Dead Sea, which just so happens to be the biblical location of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's watch.
I don't know if you know this, but in my Bible here that is in 1857, it's a vintage Bible, I just discovered that the scholars who left commentary in this Bible were sure where Sodom and Gomorrah was. So tell me why today, when you look up where Sodom and Gomorrah is, all they're going to tell you is that it's most commonly theorized to be on the eastern side of the Jordan or southwestern side of Israel of the Dead Sea. Because I'm about to show you something that proves that they once knew without a question where Sodom and Gomorrah was, and that this is a miracle, the things that it says in here about where it is. Okay, let me show you. All right, so let's open it up. And there's some commentary here about Judea, Palestine, or the Holy Land. And it says, the Dead Sea is a name of modern date. The ancients call it the Lake of Asphalites, which means the Sea of Sodom, the Salt Sea. The Lake of Serbon, the Arabs name it. Baharat Lut, that is the Sea of Lot. You guys, it is about 50 miles in length and 10 in breadth. The lofty mountains of the country of the Moabites are on the eastern side and discharge it into the waters of Arnon and the Jarrett. On the west and south, it is bounded by very high mountains also. It is likewise on the west that the brook Cedron, which rises at Jerusalem, empties into this sea. We are informed that this vast lake was covered formerly with fruit trees and abundant crops, and that from the bosom of the earth, now buried under its waters, arose the superb cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, also Admah, Zeboim, and Segor. No plants of any kind grow in this lake. The bottom of it is black, thick, and foetid. Branches of trees which fall therein become petrified in a little time. The Dead Sea produces a kind of bitumen which may be found floating on the surface like large lumps of earth. This bitumen is a sulfurous substance mixed with salt. It is as brittle as black pitch, is combustible, and exhales while burning a strong and penetrating smell. The ancient Arabs used it for smearing and embalming their dead to preserve them from perishing. The mountains near this sea produce a kind of black stone, which when polished has a beautiful luster. Guys, do you realize how amazing this is, that this so clearly states that they were sure where Sodom and Gomorrah is, you guys? And the fact that it talks about the trees being petrified and that it used to be used to embalm the dead, and the sulfur that is on the surface and the smell that comes from it, the salt within it, it all adds up to the story of Lot and his wife. This is how easy history can be erased from people's knowledge and minds. Because if they just stop teaching it, stop telling you about it, and start removing it from the books, this is how quickly people just won't even know information like this unless you find these old books. And we're left without context, we're left without the scholars who knew these things. This is mind-blowing to me. All right, let me know if you knew anything about this, or if you live near the Dead Sea, if you have other information about this, I want to hear about it, because this is really interesting knowledge that we need to talk about and share with each other. All right, God bless.
So there you go. I tend to believe it. And I'll go out to your calls here, because we got a lot of calls, not much time. But it is interesting. The other sort of parallel with this is the Sea Peoples. If you don't know, the Sea Peoples basically ended the Bronze Age. There was something called the Bronze Age Collapse, where all these big civilizations basically got wiped out in a very short amount of time. Nobody knows really what caused it, but at that time and contributing to the collapse were these people called the Sea Peoples, and nobody knows where they came from, and they just showed up on boats and killed everybody and left, and the only people that could resist them, that did resist them and did sort of defeat them, were Egypt by giving them land to settle on. That's who became the Philistines, like Goliath, who David killed. He was one of these Sea Peoples, I think. I think I have that right. But regardless, I was reading a thing that was like, nobody knows who the Sea Peoples are, but it's, you know, would have happened around the time, if it was real, that the Trojan War occurred. And it's like, oh, okay, so it was the Trojans. So you're saying it was the Trojans is what you're saying. This, you're just saying it's a coincidence. So let's see. Greece goes to war with Troy for 10 years. Troy falls, and then you have a raft of stories we still have today about all of these Greeks and Trojans traveling all over on boats, like the Aeneid with Aeneas, a Trojan prince, leaving Troy and going to the Italian peninsula and founding what would become Rome, or the Odyssey, where you've got Odysseus traveling around, visiting a bunch of different islands and stuff. And at this same exact time period, you have the Sea Peoples showing up all over the Mediterranean and taking over. But the historians are like, we have no idea who they are. It's like, it's the Trojans. They're the Trojans. But there's like some weird thing where they don't want to give any credence to like what we now interpret in the modern world as myths. And for a while, they acted like Troy wasn't real. And they, like, for a long time, people said that Troy wasn't a real thing. And then some German dude found it in like the 1800s. He was just like, well, according to all the references, it should be right here. And they went and dug up. There it was, giant city. It was Troy. So all these things are real. The Bible is real. The Odyssey is real. The Aeneid is real. This stuff is real, whether you like it or not. And it's funny because it slots perfectly into history. But now when you hear people teach history, they'll completely ignore that stuff, and it makes it less informative. We don't know where Sodom and Gomorrah is, really, because they did in the 1800s. We don't know who the Sea Peoples are, really, because they did in the 1800s. It's the Trojans. They were the Trojans. That's who it was. It's not that complicated. All right. Let's go out to your calls. But it's a phenomenon that I don't understand, that like we lose history for some reason because people just don't want it known, I guess. Let's go out to your calls. Rob in Oregon has called in about this topic. A biblical follow-up. Go ahead, Rob. You're on the air.
Harrison, I'm going to be quick. The Spirit touched me to call you. There's no coincidences when it comes to Yeshua HaMashiach, the one everyone calls Jesus, and I know you know that. My life has been one of spiritual revelation, and the times that we're in right now, there is revelations that he wants me to share with you. I thought it was going to be Alex, but it's you, and there's no coincidences when it comes to his timing. You're talking about all these things. I have so many things that have been revealed to me, and now it's time to speak of them. So I want to give my phone number to you. I want your staff to take it down, and then I want you to take it to Yeshua HaMashiach, the convincer of all men, and he is telling me right now that you will call me. We are supposed to talk. It's time to talk about the things that I know, and you'll be astonished, but I want him to be the convincer, and that's it.
All right, well, stay on the line, and my producer will get your phone number. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Can you give us anything? Can you give us a hint here of you know what you feel called to tell me?
Well, let's see. I want the Spirit to speak. The Spirit says the fallen ones are in control. They are created beings. We are made in His image, and they are physical. They're in these men. Trump, I believe, has been taken over by them, or that he's afraid of them, or but he's definitely on that side now. And I voted for this man. I wish, you know, but it's been revealed. But here's the thing. There are 200 impact craters on planet Earth that cannot be explained by science. Now, I'm not going to go into the other things, but there is a building that was erected in Kyrgyzstan called the Pyramid of Peace. In the capstone, like the capstone on the dollar bill that's floating above it, in Kyrgyzstan, in this building, in the capstone, there is a table. And around that table, there are 200 chairs. Now, I wonder who meets there. It's just not Antarctica anymore, where all the royalty oligarchs, Nephilim, and the ones that follow him by will go. But now, the Pyramid of Peace. So anyway, Harrison, it goes a lot deeper. I know that the Spirit will reveal what we're supposed to talk about, but I have been given a lot of understanding. I have been to the River of Life. I have been anointed by the oil. I know it's there. My life is not my own. My life is his, and his will be done. I am a chosen one, and I know that. And it's between him and you, me and him, but we are supposed to speak to one another.
Well, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thank you very much for the call, and stay on the line, and then my producer will get your phone number. Thank you for that. Let's go to Patriot Independent next. We're just going to the calls in the order they have been received. Patriot Independent in Virginia. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. First, I want to say I appreciate you sharing my post about the Virginia no vote. If you're in Virginia and you haven't already voted, you got, I would say, about 15 minutes before the polls close. Vote no. We got to stop this gerrymandering. This tyrant governor stop her right in her tracks.
Second Absolutely. Thing, thanks for calling in. That's funny. I did that during a commercial break today. Yeah, get out and vote no, Virginia. Stop Scamburger's authoritarian gerrymandering. Today, you got to go vote no on the proposed constitutional amendment. That's great. So what have you called in about?
Yep. Second thing is, I don't know if you remember, but a few months ago, I called in about an idea I had for Alex's final show. I know you guys said that the old studio was still there, and I thought it would be cool since his show started in that building, in that studio, it would be cool to send it off in that studio, started there so it should end there. I figured the nostalgic badassery of it for the OG supporters like myself, it would just be really cool.
You know, we'll do something. We're going to work on stuff. We'll do a lot next week, and we should do a big studio tour just to document this and tell everybody about it. The studio that he originally in still exists, but it's the podcast studio now. It's not set up for broadcast, but I do like that idea. And just stay tuned because we'll be doing a lot of stuff to sort of accomplish two things. We want to, of course, commemorate and memorialize the incredible and really unparalleled success that InfoWars has experienced, the unparalleled impact we've had on the world. We have to sort of look back and pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished while also building up, excitement for what's comes next and understanding that this is not so much the end of a phase as the beginning of a new one. So we'll be doing lots of stuff to show our appreciation for the audience and the success that they've helped us to achieve and, this place that has been the beating heart of the operation the whole time. Thank you for the call, Patriot Independent. Let's go to Chris, also in Virginia. Go ahead, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Hey, oh, okay, I thought I was going to hear a little noise. Hey, Harrison, just want to say I love you and Alex and the network, all the staff, everybody there, just absolutely love you guys. You guys never sold out. I've been listening since 1999. Ooh. And just love you guys, man. Wow. And I pretty much agree with absolutely everything you say, which is pretty weird.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, man. We love you, too.
But look, hey, what I called about was, look, are we allowed, can we troll the new people? Can we troll the hell out of them?
You have my permission, sir. Yes, troll anybody you want. The thing is, are there new people? Is the Onion going to take us over? I don't even know if that's going to happen. But if they do, sure. Yeah, you're allowed to troll them. I give you permission.
Thank you, because we're going to make those people wish they never lived. And by the way, I hope you guys also like, troll the hell out of them with little pieces and stuff you do about whatever the hell crap trash they're going to put out. So thanks, Harrison. Love you.
Love you. Thank you very much for that. And look, we'll probably completely ignore them. But to be honest with you, we probably will not care what they're saying or doing. They'll sort of operate in their own little bubble for a couple months, and then they'll go away and pretend it never happened. That's my official prediction. But you're allowed to troll them all you want. All you want. I think if The Onion is so interested in buying us, we haven't even met. Come on down. This is an official invite. I want you to clip this out and send it to them. Tag them in it. Ben Collins, Tim Heidecker, you are hereby invited. Come on the show. Come in the studio. Come hang out. Come meet us. These people that you demonize, you know, us patriots that you think are just the worst people ever. We're constantly lying. We're constantly full of crap. We're so hateful and bigoted and vicious. Come hang out. Come meet us. Come say hi. Come see if your delusional worldview can withstand an interaction with reality. Come see it for yourself. Come find out for yourself who it is that you are trying to destroy, that you're mocking and reveling in our destruction. Come look at us face to face, man to man. You are invited. You are hereby invited. And frankly, if you don't take it, I gotta wonder about what you're really about. Because as I understand it, you guys are so cool. I mean, you guys are like, you're hanging out with Hollywood people. I mean, if you came here, you'd probably make us look like a bunch of rubes. Probably be really good for you. You'd probably come here and all of your presuppositions would be confirmed, and we would reveal ourselves to be a bunch of, you know, hillbilly liars from Texas that don't know anything and are just making stuff up. It'll all be confirmed. You'll look like geniuses, you know, you'll make us look like idiots. It'd be a great way to start your new operation. So nothing to be afraid of. Come on down. Come on down. Come hang out. We'll take you out to dinner. We'll go shooting. You'll get some barbecue. You'll get to hang out in the studio. We'll interview right here next to me. We'll talk about, you know, a bunch of stuff. It'll be fun. It'll be really fun. You're invited. Tim Heidecker, Ben Collins. Come on down. Hit me up. DMs are open. What are you scared of? Come on down. It'll be fun. Let's go now to Michael in Ohio. Michael in Ohio. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, your buddy Michael Taylor at Gonna Get You on X. Just want to say, I know we don't got much time. I agree with you 100%. I think Trump has been in on this from the beginning. I've voted for him 3 times. Like, he totally smoke and mirrored me. But my true point for calling is that what if the Jewish faith is actually the Bene Gesserit from the novel Dune? What if Christ's movement was truly authentic and real, but they hijacked it and through their printing presses co-opted the movement to fashion it in a way that they could eventually bring to fruition what is happening now, the end of times, you know, the end of the world, just everything to that degree? We, you know, we only know what we're told, and we only know what we read, and unfortunately, after a couple few generations, we lose passed on knowledge. That's one thing I do give credit to the Jewish people about. They are very good at passing knowledge from generation to generation without writing it down. I feel like they could have easily co-opted this movement to pursue a war that removes all religion from this planet, to enslave us by Satan.
Well, listen, that is absolutely what they're doing. I didn't even get to it today. I meant to talk about it a lot, but, you know, Alan Dershowitz just became a Republican for the first time, and it's like just total confirmation of everything I've been saying for the last couple of years. He literally writes this letter where he says, I'm a lifelong Democrat. You know, I still am Democrat, essentially. I still disagree strongly with the GOP on abortion, the separation of church and state, immigration, healthcare, and taxes, among other things. Okay, so literally everything. Okay, so every major topic, he is still a flaming liberal leftist Democrat. But, and he explicitly says, because Democrats don't like Israel, I'm now becoming Republican. That's new MAGA. This is a distillation of new MAGA down to its most perfect primordial form. Is like, I'm still a Democrat in every way that's meaningful, but I support Israel, so now I'm a Republican, and this is the Republican Party. So literally, it's like these people. He hates the Republican Party. He's always been against the Republican Party. He's trying to hurt the Republican Party. He just wants Israel to benefit. So he's switching sides. It's the most like cynical and just in your face move you could possibly imagine. It's just completely insane. So yeah, that's absolutely happening. Now, the Bene Gesserit in particular, according to the author of Dune, was based off the Jesuits. It's why Jesuit. It's literally the Jesuits, a secret society using the church's cover to basically manipulate people. So he actually based off the Jesuits, but certainly they have elements of the Talmudic Jews. I would say a more accurate association would be the Foundation from the Foundation. Go read the Foundation. Everybody should read the Foundation. Okay, I'm not going to say it again. Everybody needs to read The Foundation if you care about what's going on in the world today. It's not a fantasy novel. It's an instruction manual. And with that, we go to our last caller. We got 2 minutes left. Sean in New York. Go ahead. Sean, you're on the air.
Captain Clockhart, Port of Duty. Sir, listen, I believe that Trump is going to ease up on immigration so much that he's going to actually offer these 20 to 50 million that have crossed the border permanent citizenship if they fight in one of these wars that they're going to throw them in, because there's not enough people to fight the wars, and you got all the robots, and the robots need to be controlled by people, so, you know.
Yeah, that could certainly be the case. I actually have a video from yesterday that I didn't get to play yet, but Canadians are recruiting people that don't speak English or French, so there's now people that just like only speak Hindu in their army. So yeah, and we already do it where you can get citizenship by fighting for us, but I don't know. It's like, well, what's worse, you know, taking illegal immigrants and saying you can be a citizen if you go fight for us and survive your deployment, or saying you have to go fight for your country, but in the meantime, we're bringing in an illegal to replace you. You're going to go die in a battlefield, and then, you know, some dude from a different country is going to take your spot. Because that's what's happening in Ukraine. Ukraine just announced that they're opening up the floodgates to, you know, infinite migration from Africa, because they literally have killed an entire generation of Ukrainians. So they're literally replacing them with Africans. So, you know, I was saying yesterday, why don't they just send the Africans to fight? That seems more reasonable to me. But I don't know. They both seem like horrible options. Frankly, I think we should not have war. What if we tried peace instead? There's an idea. There's an option. Thank you so much for your calls. Thank you for supporting us at thealexjonesstore.com. And stay tuned, folks, as we're shaking things up. Make sure you're subscribed to us on X so you get the latest updates at Real Alex Jones at InfoWars.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods, everywhere else, because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, last up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. It's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.